Today on Real Radio.
Do you really believe in the Lord? Do you really believe that you have His Bible in your life? If it's true to those things, then the reason why is because He's the God who keeps His word. And you're not going to want to hear this.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. It is both true and scriptural that there is plenty of evil in our world. And what is arguably the most evil act ever to occur on our planet was used and preordained by the Almighty to glorify Himself and redeem His people. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation taken from parts of Luke 22 and other passages called When God Prepares to Die.
The cross. This had to be an amazing thing because you know what, guys? The church needs to comprehend this beautiful thing. God is not interested in liturgical practices anymore. He's not interested in shadows. He's not interested in fluff. He's interested in the reality of it all. Jesus Christ fulfills what had been going on for over 1,500 years, because 1,500 years earlier, the children of Israel, on the 14th day of the month of Nisan in the Hebrew calendar, they were led out of Egypt after the Passover. Remember that in Egypt? We talked about it last week. They were set free. Free from Egypt, which is a type of the world in the Bible. They were set free based on what? The sacrifice of an innocent animal. How did that do anything? Because the blood was put to the doorpost and the lintel of the house. What does that achieve? That when the death angel came by, the death angel saw the blood and kept going. And no one perished in that home. The next day, Israel was set free on their pilgrimage to the promised land. What an awesome thing that is when you think about it. That's why it's so important. Jesus fulfills Scripture, and the Passover is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going through and inviting the disciples to make preparation, but Jesus has now come. It's amazing. Here's that portion of Scripture for one thing. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8, it's amazing. Hebrews 9, 8, listen to this. It says that regarding the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle, that is the temple, was still standing. Verse 9, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performs the service perfect in regard to the conscience. In other words, you can't find forgiveness by any earthly priesthood anymore. Verse 10 says, concerned only with foods and drinks and various washings and fleshly ordinances, that's rules, imposed until the time of reformation. Verse 11 says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Listen to this, a more perfect temple for our sacrifice to be offered up and do. Look, not made with human hands, that is not of this creation. You guys, it is so awesome to be able to tell you that what the Lord did for us, He didn't do it in an earthly temple. Thank God Jesus didn't present Himself as a sacrifice in Jerusalem to be offered up in the temple of Jerusalem, which in 70 AD, you know, would be torn down. Would then that imply that your salvation was destroyed when the Roman Empire destroyed the temple? Does it mean that if Jesus would have offered Himself up on some earthly altar, that if that altar would have been destroyed, your salvation would have been lost? Oh, listen, He was offered up on the cross. But the ascension of Jesus Christ is His presentation of His priesthood to the Father. The Bible says that Jesus is in heaven right now talking to the Father on your behalf and mine. Isn't that great? Can somebody say amen? Amen. If you agree with that, you can say amen to these things. It's like, yes! Have you ever sinned? Have you ever messed up? How awesome! Have we gotten cold and callous and unappreciative of the fact that when we do that, we can run to the Father and say, Father, forgive me! Did you know that the Father says, excellent, ek homologeo. You have confessed your sin. You have said the same word. My son died for that. Your sin is taken away. You guys, we get to go free. That's the life of a believer. By the way, Hebrews 9 verse 12 says that Jesus did this not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all. Bible students in here, where is the most holy place? I want all of you to take your finger, pull it out. Pull out your finger. Hold it straight up. I need all of you to do this. Some of you are just not with us today. You guys, the most holy place is no longer on earth. It's up there. It's with him. That's where Jesus offered himself as our priest. And the book of Hebrews also says he couldn't have walked in. Jesus could not have walked into that place in heaven without what? Blood. His own blood. And his blood sacrifice for you and I is eternally set upon the mercy seat in heaven, not the Ark of the Covenant that Indiana Jones is going after someplace. People ask, what happens if we find the Ark of the Covenant? Are people going to die if they touch it? Nope. Well, does it have any significance? It's worth a lot of money. What if they find the Ark of the Covenant, which is somewhere on earth? I mean, think of that. It's somewhere on earth. Frankly, I could care less. It's dead. It's dead because it's not my mercy seat anymore. I don't care where it is. In fact, in the last days, it's probably going to be found, pulled out, and worshipped by people in the world. That's the way people are. They'll worship it instead of the one in whom it was speaking of. We're real suckers. I mean, not you guys here at this church, but humans are real suckers for worshiping icons and things. Hey, let's celebrate Passover. What for? Unless you know what it means. You've got to know what it means. Are you religious? Good luck to you. You're religious. Good luck. I don't usually say the word good luck because I don't believe in it. But if you're religious, luck is all you've got. Do you have the Christ of the Passover? Do you have that? Do you have him? And so it goes on in Hebrews. Hebrews 9 goes on in verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is Jesus, my Passover. Is he your Passover? It's awesome. Verses 7 and 8 goes on and it says there that when the Passover should be killed, it's the feast, the day of unleavened bread. When? We talked about those combined two holy days really pressed together into 1 week. The day of Passover is a day. The feast of unleavened bread is celebrated in a week-long event. When God prepares to die, he sets his table in order, my friend, and he brings the word of God to life. Secondly, he arranges everything himself. He arranges everything himself. This is kind of cute in my mind. My mother, who could barely speak English. My mom spoke pidgin English, and it's a miracle I can talk at all. When you listen to my mom, I grew up in that home, and it's like, what? Born and raised in Hawaii, very poor. Actually, she was an orphan from 4 years of age on when her parents died, and spoke pidgin English. Let me tell you something. My mom could not communicate much, but you know what she found in her strength? And let me tell you, you want to know why it's hard for me to keep weight off? I'm going to tell you right now something very personal. The way that my mom told you that she loved you is that she would cook up a storm every day, not sometimes, every day of my life. I woke up and walked into the kitchen, and there would be toast stacked up. She wouldn't ask how much toast. There would be toast stacked up. And there would be eggs on a plate, not unlimited eggs on the plate. And because I was raised in a home where my mom was from Hawaii, every meal had fried rice. Every meal. So we had Hawaiian fried rice and eggs. That was there every day. And I just fell out of bed and walked up there, sat down and did my thing and off to school or whatever I did. And if you came over, the first thing she would say to you is, are you hungry? It didn't matter what you said. It was the answer was didn't is irrelevant. Have you ever seen the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding? That's my house. And my mom would just shove food to you. She would give food to you. And here it was so cute because she was just about 5 feet tall. She'd go in the kitchen and then she would find an angle where she could find you in the field of view. And she would watch to see if you ate it. And if you didn't eat it, you'd break her heart. The good thing for all of us is that she was a ridiculous cook. And so we just consumed it all. She had to arrange everything. You didn't get in her kitchen. You could lose a finger. That was her way of saying, you know what? I love you. Jesus loves you like that. This is the Passover, my friend, and he is the Passover. He's not only the meal, he's the sacrifice. In a way, he's the cook. He's the host. Look, he's the dessert. He's everything. He's the one setting up the table. He's the one watching over every aspect of it. Notice that Jesus sends Peter and John to make preparations. He didn't send Judas. And God bless Peter. I mean, Peter, imagine Peter and Judas going somewhere. One's a thief, and one guy just is gifted at making mistakes. Can you imagine those two? Judas and Peter. John and John, take Peter and keep an eye on him when you go. Not Judas. He's arranging everything. And there's an awesome thing that's about to unfold. And I got to tell you right now, I don't know the answer to what I'm about to put before you. They argue and bicker and there's no clear answer on this. Is Jesus, being God in flesh, orchestrating these clandestine events, or are these people, who we don't know their names in a moment, that Jesus knew that while he was in Jerusalem, these arrangements had been previously made? The answer is, we don't know. We don't have to know. The answer is, he's arranging everything. You say, well, Jack, I want to know. No, you don't. Trust me, because here's the deal. How much goes on in your life and mine that we don't know what's happening? Why is this going on? How come this? How come that? Right? Isn't that how we are? What's the deal? You know what? Maybe you can never get a sufficient answer for yourself from anybody, but this I know. He's in it. He's there. And so verse 9 says, so they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And Jesus said to them, behold, when you have entered in the city, that's Jerusalem, mark it, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house in which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of that house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where we may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room there, make ready. This is amazing. We don't need to spend much time on it, just simply to say this. Never underestimate the things that God is involved in your life. Why? Because things may look completely ridiculous. You may not look at that and say, how in the world can God be in that? You say, what are you saying that for? Because ladies and gentlemen, church family, check it out. When Jesus said, I want you to go into the city and you'll see a man carrying a what? A water pot. You say, well, so what? That's the so what. This is the so what. Men were not allowed to carry water pots. That's the sign. Oh, Jesus, show me a sign. Okay, I'll show you a man carrying a water pot. How are we going to know? I'll show you a man. He's carrying a water pot. You say, I don't get it. Men didn't carry water pots. Women carried water pots in those days. Men were not allowed. They would think you're from San Francisco. That's a place north of Tel Aviv. They would say, what? What is that guy? Confused? Thinks he's a woman. No man carries a pot of water like that. Men carried wine skins. Men did not carry pots of water. Jesus says, you'll see a man carrying a pot of water. Maybe they laughed. Can you imagine that? That's so silly. I'm serious. You'll see a man carrying a pot of water. Things in life may not make any sense. God is at work. He's doing a great thing. And on top of it, notice this. Verse 10 says, "Behold, when you have entered the city," look at verse 11, "then you shall say," verse 12, "then he will show you." Jesus is arranging everything. And then thirdly, check this out. He sets his table in order by welcoming all those involved. Look at verse 13. "By welcoming all those involved, so they went and found," what does it say, church? "Just as he had said to them." You know what? That little statement looks frail on the surface, but that really encourages me. They found it just as he said. You guys, we need to meditate on that. Don't raise your hand right now. I want you to think about this. Do you really believe in the Lord? Do you really believe that you have his Bible in your life? Is he important to you at all? If it's true to those things, then the reason why is because he's the God who keeps his word. And you're not going to want to hear this. But unless we stop being Sunday Christians, you guys, let me put it to you like this. The Lord is jealous for your heart. He wants you. And you think about that for a moment. That even the Lord himself says, "I am the head of the church, the groom. The church is my bride-to-be." He speaks to us that way that we might get it. Think about your own life right now. Where are you? Is your relationship with the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, your sin and mine? How close are you with him? How hot is that relationship with him? I had to preface that by saying, as we end with this, verse 13 says, "So they went out and found it just as he said, and they prepared the Passover." They went and they got a little lamb. And this would be the last one that God would ever, well, in fact, it would be the last time that those disciples would ever practice Passover the same. Ever since that sacrifice of Jesus, those are empty religious acts that without love, they're nothing. Church, mark these down. They're very valuable. Isaiah 53:10 says concerning Jesus and the Passover. Isaiah 53:10, are you guys okay?
Yes.
We're almost done, truly. We've got a few more minutes. We're out of here. Isaiah 53:10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Let me reread it to you this way. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him," Christ. He, that is the Lord, has put him, Christ, to grief. When the Lord makes him, Christ, his soul an offering for sin. The word that it pleased the Lord to put Jesus to the cross, the word in Hebrew means it pleased him, satisfied him. It was a desire that was quenched. Listen, everybody, you need to get this. It was a desire that God had that was quenched or satisfied when Jesus went to the cross. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit was delighted that Jesus would go to the cross. And if you don't get that down, you're going to mess up. You're going to think, what sort of a sick God would send his son to the cross? Don't think that way. God was happy to have his son go to the cross. Isaiah 53:11, the very next verse says, "For he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge of his righteous servant, and it shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Church, remember how we started this message? How is it that the Lord, the eternal God, is going to be the Redeemer of the world? Because it is the eternal God who went to the cross. And the Bible says here that the Lord saw the Christ suffer and bear the iniquities of us all. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. Tell me, when in history did that happen? Tell me, how big is your God? My God can do that. Do you have a God that died on a cross? Do you have a God that rose again from the dead? Do you have a God who knows how you feel? Do you have a God who said, "Hey, here's the deal. I will die in your place. I will forgive you. I will set you free. I will change your life. Your life's not over. I give new life to all those who come to me. The question is, why and how does he do that? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, now listen, put this in light of all that you've just learned from the Old Testament and from what's going on at Passover. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God. Listen, God, the Lord, who has reconciled us to himself. That is the Lord. Through who? Through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God, the Lord, was in Christ, that's Jesus, reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them any longer. 1 Corinthians 5:7, for indeed Christ is our Passover who was sacrificed for us. Here we go, we're almost done. John 3:15, wow. John 3:15, beginning there, watch this. Whoever believes in him, the Christ, should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 16, for God, the Lord, so loved the world that he, that is the Lord, gave his only begotten Son, that's Christ, that whoever believes in him, the Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. For God, that is the Lord, did not send his Son, the Christ, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, that's Christ, might be saved. He who believes in Christ is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only, that's Christ, begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's the Lord. He, Christ, was put to death in his body, but made alive by the Holy Spirit. Last verse, 1 John 4:9. 1 John 4:9. Check this out. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he, that is the Lord God, loved us and sent his Son, that is the Christ, to be the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. Can someone say amen? Amen. Oh my goodness. I don't know about you, but this sets me free. Now when I look at the Passover, I see it completely different.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called When God Prepares to Die. It's a presentation taken from part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22, a description of events prior to the execution of Jesus of Nazareth. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, during the recent Passion Week here on Real Radio, we stepped aside from this verse by verse to bring to you Pastor Jack's condensed series, Only Jesus. And we've been offering it here on Real Radio and received quite a response. So we're extending that offer, which is simple, for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send to you Pastor Jack's four-part DVD series, Only Jesus. Ask for it by name, whether you call, click, or write. Only Jesus. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, you can pay us a visit at our new Real Radioactive .org. RealRadioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at RealRadioactive.org. RealRadioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.